I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is Live and Local, your connection to local music. And you've got opportunities this week to see a couple of very different guitarists, one of whom is a singer-songwriter, performing at Westside Park in Champaign tomorrow at noon, a free program brought by the Champaign Park District Music Series. His name, Nathaniel Sear. He's from Bloomington, Indiana. And we'll be talking with him first part of the show. And then three opportunities to hear classical guitarist Rachel Schiff, who actually was born in Fisher, Illinois, went to Northwestern, just finished up there. And she'll be in our studio second half of the show to play us some tunes. And you can hear her each of the next three evenings at Indigo Gallery. It's a new gallery in downtown Champaign. And we'll tell you more about that later on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was flutist Jean-Pierre Rampal with harpsichordist John Steele Ritter, a different kind of a take on music by Scott Joplin, Elite Syncopations here on FM 90.9. And that jaunty music sort of decidedly in contrast to a couple of CDs put out by singer-songwriter Nathaniel Sear, who is going to be in Champaign tomorrow at noon for a free program at Westside Park. And I caught up with him just early this morning, well, not so early. He was in Columbus, Ohio, when we were talking by telephone about these songs, or these discs called, actually, Songs of Hate and The Dark Will Come. So sort of from the darker side of things, and I'll play you most of our conversation, including, or rather beginning with, the simple question of how long has he been writing songs?
I've been writing songs since I was in high school. I had kind of an indie garage rock band in high school called Men from Andromeda, and that's where I kind of got started with the idea of writing songs. I was the singer in that band and the primary songwriter, and you know, it's about what you would expect from an adolescent who had never done it before. It was fun, but nothing I would probably share with anyone now. Then I went on to study classical violin for a while and forgot about songwriting. And then came back to it, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. This has kind of been the first year that I've been doing it just full time. I don't do any other kind of work now. I'm a songwriter.
And so you were in violin at Indiana University?
Well, I started at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. There was a teacher there that I particularly wanted to study with. But unfortunately, before I was able to graduate, he had retired and moved back to New York. And so then I found another teacher who I wanted to study with at IU in South Bend, one of the satellite schools. And then he left, and by that point I'd become very burnt out on the idea, and I moved to Bloomington, Indiana, and became an English major at IU.
And as the... would you say your songs have a literary influence?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, there are times where I'm just straight quoting from books I've read that I've enjoyed and had, you know, some meaning for me. Something that I'm actually trying to get away from a little bit, because it starts to feel a bit like a crutch or something I'm relying on.
Well, I imagine it could be, but at the same time, you know, people do it all the time. You know,
sure.
they borrow from literature and or simply take inspiration from literature.
Sure.
I like that in your little biography on your website, you refer to having died an old man beneath the rumblings of a symphony orchestra. You want to, and then you have a resurrection. Yeah. You want to explain what you mean by that?
Well, I felt like I had, by the time I'd become very burnt out on the study of classical music, the study of violin, I felt like I'd had kind of like a lifetime's worth of music education or education, I guess is probably the right word, just experience with music that that when I came out from on the other side of that whole experience, I felt young again or new again for having given it up, which was kind of a difficult decision because I'd spent so many hours and years, you know, ever since seventh grade, studying the violin and kind of just being immersed in the world of classical music, which is a very different world from popular music or folk music. You know, it's a whole different set of rules and requirements. And I don't know, I felt somehow reborn. I hate to use that's a very cliche way of putting it, but that's kind of how I felt. So I don't know.
Well, you
answered your question.
Well, yeah, you you feel how you feel, and you should know, as you may or may not know, that the station where this interview is airing actually is a mostly classical station. My show happens to branch out into other ways, and so so we may have some listeners who say, "What do you mean burned out on the violin? How's that even possible? What do you think?" Made you feel burned out about it? What was the burnout?
Well, let me first say that, you know, in recent years, I've actually started playing classical music again just at home privately, and I still listen to classical music fairly constantly when I'm on the road in the car or whatever. So I still have, you know, a love and appreciation for it. But to answer that, your question about, you know, feeling burnt out, I think that that what I yearned for, and this is possibly, you know, one of the influences or inspirations for me to become an original songwriter, was that I spent four or more hours a day locked away in a practice room learning how to play songs that had been played for hundreds of years and was being told exactly how to do it. And there wasn't this kind of freedom to experiment, which I understand because there's an expectation from the listener that certain things should be played a certain way, and I even think, you know, we see whenever some of our finer classical musicians, finer younger classical musicians, attempt to do things strangely or new, there's often some sort of blowback. There's a smaller group of people, in my opinion, that find it interesting, whereas the larger group of people would prefer that they do it as it had been done.
They're always comparing you to people who've done it before,
right?
Often unfavorably, if it's different, as you say. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, and it does answer my question very well. Let's take a break from talking here for a little bit and play something from your new CD, which is called "The Dark Will Come." And you suggested perhaps the title track, which closes out the CD. You want to give this an introduction for us?
The album as a whole was kind of an experiment because it combines electronic computer-produced sounds with acoustically recorded instruments. And this song, I guess, you know, kind of following with our conversation about violin and classical music, actually kind of employs a string chorus, string choir, which I'd like to say I flew in from Prague or something like that, but it's actually me. I just recorded all of the different parts and was fairly proud of how that ended up turning out. The song itself is, I think, a study on karma or like a karmic paranoia or something like that. I don't know if that's too vague, but that's as best as I can put it.
This is a performance just by you and one other person, Davy J. Sparrow.
Yeah, Davy J. Sparrow is a good friend of mine from back home in Bloomington, who's actually on the same record label as I am. He's a otherwise he's an old-time country singer, but he has this kind of secret that he'd rather I not tell people, which is that he's very gifted at producing electronic music.
Well, we won't broadcast that beyond about a 75-mile radius from, Champaign,
yeah.
Urbana.
Yes, I use a false alphabet. I find false gods in my science. Your law, like wind, whittles these statues. So all my idols fade like thunder, like my conjured words and wonder. In the wake of this weather, I can see you. The dark will come for the light on our tongues, for the ribbons we saved, for the hours of the day, and every heart that dies won is a heart that tries to run. So let's wait and watch the dark when it comes. Stand still, that eastern dark will come undone. Drop my hammer, drop my gun, build nothing grand. I speak no blood, I cannot stand with your hand upon my shoulder. And I was told to climb the pulpit high, to let your voice boom and whine. So I closed my mouth and your songs inside me smoldered. The dark will come for the light on our tongues, for the ribbons we saved, for the hours of the day, and every heart that dies won is a heart that tries to run. So let's wait and watch the dark when it comes. Stand still, that eastern dark will come undone. Walk, we found two wedding rings, found our fingers fitting perfectly. Yes, I know you long for her as a prize of consolation. And I've been Samaritan for karma's sake. I've taught my child these ways of hate. I'll not give him up, not for a flake of your redemption. The the dark will come for the light on our tongues, for the ribbons we saved, for the hours of the day, and every heart that darkest won is a heart that chose to run. So let's wait and watch the dark when it comes. Stand still, that eastern dark will come undone.
A song called The Dark Will Come by Nathaniel Sear, who was also the singer there and a performer along with Davy J. Sparrow. So you were on the violins and what else in that particular song?
The guitar, the kind of rhythm guitar part, the acoustic guitar part is me. The drums that you hear are computer programmed. There's some kind of synthesizer sounds that are computer programmed, and those are all done by Davy using a computer program, and we kind of just would sit for hours at a time where I would play the song and he would kind of fiddle around on the computer and back and forth until we had something that sounded right, and then we'd put it together.
So this tour you're on, and I should back up and say that we're talking with Nathaniel Sear because he's going to be in Champaign on Friday to give a concert in Westside Park at noon, and a free concert at that. As part of the Champaign Park District's Summer Music Series. But you're coming just by yourself, so there will be no electronica on this tour, right?
That's right. Usually when I'm on tour, purely for economical reasons, I perform solo acoustic. I love having a band with me, and I have done that once a year for the last couple years. I'll take a tour where my band will come with me. But it's too expensive to take them right now. I have to get a hotel room each night. If we don't find someone kind enough to offer their living room floor to us to, you know, kind of take care of them. Because I, when I'm on the road by myself, I sleep in my Toyota Corolla where I have built a bed, and that saves on the hotel room. I cannot expect four people to try to manage to fit inside a Toyota Corolla for a night.
Yeah, that's pretty ambitious, actually. I saw a picture of it on your website, which other people can do, too, if they want, nathanielsear.com, and that's S-E-E-R.com. It's a pretty interesting rig. How does that feel to be sleeping in that thing? Is it comfortable?
It is actually completely comfortable. My wife, when I told her what I was going to do, you know, I was going to build this kind of wood frame to fit across the passenger side of the vehicle, from the dashboard all the way to the very back seat. She thought I was insane and that it was never going to work and that I would hate it once I did build it. But as it turns out, the thing is straight and level, and with the kind of foam mattress that I cut to fit the size of the frame, it is a very comfortable night's sleep.
It struck me when I was looking at the picture that it looked like it ought to be somehow illegal.
I've wondered about that, you know, and hopefully the authorities there in Champaign will not be waiting for me at the city limits when I come in, now that they're listening to this.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have mentioned it. Well, too late now. You can.
It is relatively safe. Like, I have actually, when it's in the car, it's attached to the car. It's not just kind of, floating free. So I have a feeling that in a minor accident, it probably wouldn't move around. I hope.
Well, leaving that, you mentioned some, you talked about earlier, some classical influence in your background, but also in your biography, you mentioned the howls and whines of a gospel choir, which I also liked. How does that fit into your experience and what you're doing now?
Well, when I was very young, my first experience singing was in a children's choir that was kind of part of the larger gospel choir that was kind of sponsored by the church that my parents belonged to, and my father and I would sing in the choir together, and that choir was actually a very active choir. We that was my first experience of touring as well. The choir would tour around the United States. I think I was 9, and we toured the West Coast. We did this really long West Coast tour. And that's kind of where that experience comes in, just singing gospel songs.
And does that influence your current, the current songs, either the sound of them or the text of them?
Well, I think that the I cannot help but be influenced by you know, religious text and religious context. I mean, because that is just the society I've grown up in. I don't see how you can escape it. And definitely the sound. There's a song on the record where we do kind of a whole like backing kind of gospel choir effect. Again, I'd like to say I was able to call up some gospel choir and have them come in and record it with me, but you know, the funds weren't there for that, so I recorded all the parts myself. I hate saying that because now when people listen to it, they're trying to see if it sounds like me, but hopefully it doesn't, because we do all sorts of things to it to try to make it sound as if it's not me.
Well, but it also says something that you're able to carry the choir yourself. Is this the tune called Recollection Gospel?
Yeah, that's right.
And the CD is called The Dark Will Come, and it is sort of on the darker side throughout. I think in the promotion to this interview yesterday, I said that some of these songs come from the dark side of sorts. What is it about you, or about your personality, or about your current experience that makes you write dark songs right now?
Well, I don't feel like I'm necessarily a dark person. In fact, I would say that the dark will come, and the song, you know, that the album is named for, is really, hopefully anyways, if I've been at all successful and people listen carefully, will realize that the dark isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's a thing that we should stand and wait for and kind of embrace. I think it's more or less, when I look at what kind of songs could I write, I have, you know, a fairly, you know, large spectrum, you know, the ends of which are made of, you know, happy, bright, or perhaps, you know, dark and sad. And I don't like necessarily associating dark with sad and happy with light, but that often is the way it happens. And I think one thing is that happy songs I find to be exponentially more difficult to write in a way that isn't horrible. But two, I think that we all tend to focus on happy a little too much already, and that there's still plenty to say about dark. I think that's the best way I could answer that.
Well, what do you think is the difficulty about happy? I don't know if I have a parallel sort of experience. I'm a conductor as well as a radio host, and
all right,
I used to particularly find it quite more difficult to conduct pieces that were jaunty and upbeat. I'm thinking of Beethoven's Eighth Symphony, for example.
Uh-huh.
That I went to a workshop and had a lot of trouble with this piece, and I've since conducted, and I think we did okay, and maybe you've turned the corner there. But what do you find is difficult about that? When you say it's more difficult to write a happy song.
Well, I don't want to give anyone the impression that I'm some sort of morose, constantly depressed person when I say the following, which is, I just don't believe most happy songs. I don't find that the most happy songs are terribly honest. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that's a generalization. I'm not saying that there aren't fantastic songs which convey a lighter mood, but I find that most of them maybe were written for the purpose of trying to make people feel happy, and I don't feel like I have that responsibility. I don't really need to try to cheer people up.
Do you think maybe the happy song is they can be a little too simplistic in arriving at their jauntiness or upbeatness or whatever?
Yeah, I think that the simplicity of it could have something to do with my reluctance to write that kind of song, because I mean, if you are happy, I imagine that there's a fairly complex reason behind it, and that to me would be more interesting to think about and to sing about than just the arrival of the happiness itself.
Well, are you bringing to Champagne mostly songs from the new CD, or some older ones, or some that are not yet recorded?
All of that. I'm playing songs from my second record and this new record, and then I'm also playing songs from the next record. I tend to write a record kind of all at once, and what will be the fourth album. I think I'm about halfway done writing them, and I've been performing several of those songs here of late. And those songs are of a much more folk or folk revival kind of inspiration. They're mostly topical songs, and have more of that kind of flavor in their sound.
So, if you had to describe the range of styles that you're going to be bringing to Champagne, how would you do that, if you can do that?
Well, certainly folk is an influence. I mean, I think anytime a person puts on an acoustic guitar and starts playing songs, it's going to be hard not to have folk be kind of one of the things you would list. Generally, when people ask me what I play, I try to give them the briefest of answers and say dark Americana. Because there is obviously the dark aspect that we've talked about. But I like saying Americana because it encompasses so many different genres. I feel like jazz is part of Americana. You know, roots kind of styles like folk and country and bluegrass and all these things. These are Americana in my estimation. And all of these things, you know, are pretty present in what I do at some point. And then, of course, there's the, you know, classical influence, which I would guess shows up most in the kind of progressions that I choose are a little more, I don't want to say sophisticated, that sounds like maybe I'm thinking too highly of myself, but just more than the old 1-4-5-1 chord progression, which most pop songs rely on.
Well, we're going to look forward to having you here in Champaign. Nathaniel Sear performing tomorrow at noon in Westside Park in Champaign, part of the Champaign Park District Summer Concert Series. And he'll be in his modified Toyota Corolla between, you're in Columbus, Ohio right now?
Yes.
And here tomorrow, and we hope you arrive safely without anybody arresting you for having an odd vehicle.
Thank you.
And thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you.
From our bed, shivering along the roadside, I spent my sleep kicking through dreams wild and roaming. When I felt you at my back, I thought I had at last come apologist. The sun burst through the window, split the room in half. So we kept to our dark corners to the light of day had passed. When we've had our time and we find we are dark. first night began with secret looks and sleight of hand, quietly speaking our schemes over drunken jubilee. Friends and skeptics having heard no higher language, notice nothing in this moment in the perfect workings of the world. When we've had our time and we find
singer and guitarist Nathaniel Sear, and I'm interrupting his song, so we'll let that finish out. Yeah, along with electronica produced by Davy J. Sparrow, and Nathaniel Sear playing all the instruments that you heard, mostly just guitar in that case, but also helping with some of the overdubbing. That's from a song called The Dark Will Come on his disc of the same name. Oh, I'm sorry, we heard that earlier. It was a song called Hours of the Day, from a disc called The Dark Will Come by Nathaniel Sear. If you're interested in more information about him and his recordings, you can go to nathanielsear.com, and that's S-E-E-R. And you can hear him live with just himself and his guitar at Westside Park in Champaign tomorrow during the Noon Hour, part of Champaign Park District's Summer Music Series. And the next two evenings, she started last night, you can hear also in downtown Champaign at a new gallery called Indigo, guitarist Rachel Schiff, who is a very different kind of guitarist. She's a classical guitarist, and she's actually here with us in our Studio F here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And thanks for coming in on short notice.
Well, thank you.
I just I got an email from somebody that said, first told me about this new gallery, Indigo Gallery, which I hadn't known about. And they're apparently going to be having some performers there. Zoo Improv, a comedy troupe in Champaign, has been there and will be there. And you're doing a few performances. You did last night a couple shows?
Correct. I did last night at 7 and 9 p.m., and then I'll also continue that with tonight and Friday night at 7 and 9 p.m. as well.
And about a 30-40-minute show. You're probably not used to calling your performances shows, I imagine.
Usually they fall under recitals or concerts, but show's a new term for sure.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's like kids in school call everything a song,
mm-hmm.
you know, including an enormous symphony as a song, which I've actually gotten used to and rather like. Well, you and I share one thing. We both went to the same school for undergrad. So that's one of the things that I noticed in your bio very quickly. You just finished up in a classical guitar performance at Northwestern University.
That's correct.
But you're from around our parts here.
Yeah, I grew up about 20 minutes north of Champaign-Urbana in Fisher. And then traveled up to Evanston for the last 4 years. And I'll be heading back up there next fall to complete my master's in guitar performance.
Ann Waller's the professor there.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And what drew you to Northwestern, or to her? And then what draws you back?
Sure. She, at Northwestern, every summer they have a National High School Music Institute. And there, I went for 3 or 4 summers before I went to college and fell in love with both the school and her husband actually teaches guitar as well. And he's the professor at DePaul University. And so the two of them together just make a wonderful combination. And they are so knowledgeable and fell in love with everything about it up there. And so I'm not at a point where I'm ready to leave just yet.
So you're actually able to work with both of them?
Most of the time, yes, especially during the summers when it's not the independent thing. But during the school year, I predominantly or mostly just work with Ann Waller.
Okay, well, let's hear a sample of your work. What did you bring to play?
Sure. I'm going to start with a piece called Koyumbaba. It's by Carlo Domeniconi. It's a pretty modern piece, but it retunes every string of the guitar, and it was based off of a Turkish folk tune. So it's got some interesting components about it.
This is Rachel Schiff performing in Live and Local on FM 90.9. You get a beautiful sound.
Thank you.
It's Rachel Schiff performing here live in our studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And you can hear her perform, I imagine, that piece and quite a number of others, and we'll hear a few yet on the show, at the Indigo Gallery in downtown Champaign tonight and tomorrow night at 7 and 9. And then on Saturday, you head out on a bit of an adventure.
I sure do. I head out to Italy, and I'll be going to Siena to go to a music academy. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's about 4 weeks long. So.
And how did you hear about that, and why did you decide to go to this particular academy?
Absolutely. Well, my teacher is really close with the teacher who teaches at this academy, and his name is Oscar Giglia. And he is one of the most prominent guitar teachers in the world today, and is really following in Andre Segovia's footsteps as far as master classes and teaching is concerned. And so he comes over to Northwestern once a year to give master classes in Chicago, which is a phenomenal opportunity. And during the summers, he teaches at this academy for 4 weeks. And it's a really phenomenal opportunity because it really draws the best up-and-coming guitarists around the world year after year, because it's limited to people that are under the age of 30, and just makes for a phenomenal opportunity.
Now, have you been accepted into this program, or how do you get into it?
I have not been accepted. I've only applied, and I actually audition on Monday morning, just after I arrive into Siena. And I believe Monday is just an odd day of everyone auditions for about 20 minutes each, and then a sign goes up with about 10 to 15 people who are accepted into the program for the summer.
And then what happens if you don't get accepted into the program?
Well, if I don't get accepted, I'll actually stick around Siena and listen to all the master classes that are being taught. Fortunately, because it is a music academy, there are numerous other musical things going on in the town at that time. And so I'm sure there's going to be full of concerts and festivities and whatnot. So I'm sure I'll have a learning opportunity and networking opportunity either way.
So are you able to sort of then audit the classes or however that works?
Absolutely.
Any idea how many others are going to be there you're going to be competing against?
I believe the number is on the upwards of 50 or maybe higher year after year. I want to say closer to 75, but I'm not quite sure where that number falls each year.
So it's not a horrendous chance, but you'll be up against some good competition, and certainly want to wish you the best of luck on that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And then what happens? You're going to attend a symposium as well.
Absolutely. After I get done in Siena, I'm going to go to Iserlohn, Germany, which is not too far north of Frankfurt. And there is the 18th International Guitar Symposium going on there. And it draws about 40 of the top performers and teachers, and also many of the guitar luthiers and guitar case builders, and basically just draws in the entire guitar world and community for a week-long symposium, which includes master classes and lessons. And I think there's a big guitar ensemble and also some lectures from some of the top performers in the world.
So in that case, you'll be pretty much an observer. Do you have any opportunity to perform at that symposium?
Only in a large ensemble setting will I have an opportunity to perform. But I do, I am guaranteed about 4 lessons, although I don't know who will be teaching those lessons just yet.
Well, that just simply adds to the adventure, right?
Yes, absolutely.
it sounds like an incredible opportunity, and I remember having heard of the academy you're going to, which neither of us can quite pronounce, so we're not going to try because they have a pretty large conducting program. And I always thought of trying to get in, and I never got around to it. So you're taking the step. Have you been overseas for anything like this before?
No, this is my first time traveling. I actually just got my passport about a month ago, so I'm really looking forward to every part of it.
Well, it's good you got it in time. I don't know if they're taking as long as they were for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Rachel Schiff, who's going to be performing in Champaign tonight and tomorrow night at the Indigo Gallery. She's actually originally from Fisher. And so what hooked you up to this particular gallery?
Mutual friends, actually. I'm friends with Carol Timms, who's part of the Champaign Downtown Association, and she put me in touch with the owner of this gallery, James Barham. And he was looking for an artist or performer to kind of get his gallery up and running, and she put us in touch, and it clicked. It worked for both of us perfectly.
And I think it's just Indigo, which is spelled, they spell it 2 words, like INDI space GO. But I think if you look up IndigoGallery.com, I'm pretty sure that's the website, and you can see a little bit about what they're doing. Apparently going to be trying to have other performers, and we'll look forward to hearing some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we hear you play a little more for us here on Live and Local? And what is next?
Sure. Well, that was the first movement of Kuyumbaba, and now I'm going to skip to the fourth movement and play that for you next.
And remind us, who's the composer of this piece?
It's Carlo Domeniconi.
Okay. Rachel Schiff on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Rachel Schiff performing here in our studio, WYLL-FM. Tell us the name of that piece once more.
Kuyumbaba.
By?
Carlo Domeniconi.
Is some of that stuff as hard as it looked like it might have been? Because your hand is going up and down the fingerboard really quite rapidly and aiming always for the same note during certain those passages, and the leap gets longer and longer.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a challenge. It's got its moments that are beautiful, and there's moments that are very, very challenging that I hope are still beautiful, because they are definitely.
And it looked like part of that, and sounded like part of that, you're just pressing lightly on the strings, not quite fully depressing them to produce a different kind of sound.
Absolutely. Those were actually partial harmonics that were being produced at that point.
Well, we're going to let you change guitars. Looks like you're about to do that. And in the meantime, I'm going to run through a bit of a calendar here, a partial calendar for folks who want to do some things over the weekend, get your weekend started early. The Station Theater in Urbana, the Celebration Company, is presenting the musical The Full Monty. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. The Wedding Singer is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, and 4 o'clock on Saturday, and there's a matinee on Sunday as well, which is at 2 o'clock. And also tonight, Forever Plaid is at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's at 6 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then brunch time on Sunday starting at noon. And the Summer Piano Institute at the University of Illinois is presenting its final gala concert with all the students participating. That's tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. And we'll have a few more performances to mention yet right before we go to the top of the hour. I'll have we'll have news headlines at a minute past 1 and a weather forecast right around 1 o'clock. On tomorrow's show, we'll actually be taking a break. I'm going to be doing the morning show for Vic DiGeronimo, and we'll hear a concert by the Chicago Chamber Musicians during the noon hour on Friday in place of our regular live and local program. Rachel, it seems to me that the guitar has to have one of the richest repertoires of just about any instrument. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces. How do you decide what you want to play?
A lot of listening to recordings and listening to what other classmates are performing. A lot of times I find pieces that I haven't heard, such as this Cuyumbaba. One of my studio mates played last spring and absolutely fell in love with the piece and wanted to take a look at it and play it myself. But otherwise, it's based on recommendations by my teacher on what's going to help me and fit into, making the pieces more challenging and building my technique and repertoire and such, too.
Well, before we run out of time, why don't we hear, we have time for one more piece, depending on what you've got.
Sure.
In about 4 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, my last piece I'll end with is the third movement of a piece called El Decameron Negro, and it was written by Leo Brower, and it was also written in the 20th century. It was actually written in 1981. And the English title is The Ballad of the Lovers.
Rachel Schiff on FM 90.9. Thank you. Music by Leo Brower, performed by Rachel Schiff here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's a Cuban composer, I believe, right?
That's correct.
And the name of the piece?
El Decameron Negro.
Which means what?
The Black Decameron.
And what is the Decameron? Do you know?
I don't know, actually. Each of the movements was based off of an African folktale that was written down by a German anthropologist in the 1940s. And so the first movement, there's actually a story that is associated with it, but then for each movement after, so this for the second and third one that I just played, there's not actually a specific story or that goes along with it.
So one can use one's imagination.
Absolutely.
What to come up with. Well, we appreciate your coming in today, and if our audience wishes to hear more of Rachel Schiff, you can do so tonight and tomorrow night at both 7 and 9 p.m. at the Indigo Gallery on East University Avenue, right in downtown Champaign, and giving two shows each night, and best of luck on those, and best of luck in your competition in Italy. I hope you get into the program.
Well, thank you very much.
And that it'll be as thorough as an experience as you're looking for.
Thank you.
Rachel Schiff, recent graduate of Northwestern University, pleased to have her on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.